And we are discussing, the Gemara wanted to say that the heter of Achais Isha came about because we have a rule called Davar Shaya Bechlau, V'yatzim in Aklau L'lamed, Lai L'lamed Atzma Yatzah, El L'lamed Aklau Kula Yatzah. The example of that was as follows. If the Torah said, do not eat kachim when it's tameh, then the Torah went and specified shlamim. That means the Torah doesn't want to only tell me shlamim, but it wants to define the kachim that should be similar to shlamim, have the same halakh of shlamim, and one of that is that it's kachim mizbeach, not kachim benekabayis. Following that rule, the Torah said, one cannot live with an erva. Then the Torah came and said that a brother's wife, even though it's an erva, by Yibum it doesn't apply. So we say, oh, the Torah is telling me by Yibum no erva applies. Because Eish HaSach is just an example of an erva. And the Torah is saying that Yibum permits Eish HaSach. And therefore would permit every erva, because all ervas are in the rule of erva. And the Torah revealed to me by one of them that it is permissible in the place of Yibum. So it is by all of them. That is what the Gemara wants to say. And it's not a logical thing. It is based on a halacha of how it darshan the Torah, right? Because as I think Avram asked yesterday, you compare, one is one Isser, one is two Isserim. If you would do it logically, that would be a great question. But we're not trying to do it logically. We're trying to do it with the rule. The rule says, when the Torah makes one example, it means to teach you about the whole rule. The Gemara response to that is, and we're going to see this inside in a moment, is that's true when the second one is defining. But when the Torah specifies a contradiction, then we have a different rule that applies. Then when you have a rule, and then the Torah said something contradictory to the rule, then we say the Torah meant to make an exception for the one that it's talking about. And it does not teach you about the whole rule. Shlomim, the Torah wasn't making an exception. It was saying the same thing over again, but it was redundant because it said kachim. Why did it have to say shlomim? So the rule says shlomim is defining kachim. Here, the Torah is not saying over again. The Torah didn't say all arayas are usser and then repeat that a brother's wife is usser. The Torah said all arayas are usser and then said a brother's wife is mutter. That is contradicting the rule that it said before. So this is a different rule in the Yud Gimel Midas. This is a different rule in how to darsh in the Torah. And that is to say, if anything, Eish HaSach is removed from the parsha of arayas because the Torah said it's different. If the Torah said something that's totally contradictory to the rule. And there the rule, there the halacha applies. Do not learn it about anything else in the group. Adarabba, remove Eish HaSach from the group. Only Eish HaSach is mutter b'makom yibum. In fact, you would need a pasuk to say Eish HaSach gets karis, because maybe the Torah totally removed it from all arayas. That's a rule that's called Kol Davar Shehayah Bechlau V'yatzeh Lidem B'davar HaChadosh. When the Torah comes and says a new thing, something that's contradictory to the rule, not redundant, not repetitious, like shlomim, and therefore we say shlomim is defining kachim, but it's contradictory to the rule. The rule said arayas are prohibited, and then the Torah said Eish HaSach is permissible. That contradicts the rule. And whenever the Torah writes a specific one of the group contradicting the group, then we don't say it's teaching me about everything in the group. Adarab, the opposite is true. We're saying this is different and everything else is not. So how could you say Yibum should be mutter by other arayas based on Eish HaSach? That is a Torah repeat saying something that's contradictory to the rule. And therefore it's not defining the rule, but it's contradictory and you don't apply it to the rest of the rule. Let's read it inside. I hope I explained myself well enough. We're going to start, we go across Taisus Talmud and come down two lines. Midami, how can you compare the case of Shlomim to the case of Eish HaSach? Hasam klal be'iser uprat be'iser. The general rule is written in a prohibitive way. Do not eat kachim when you're tameh. And the specific Shlomim is also saying, do not eat Shlomim when you're tameh. It's repeating itself, and therefore it's saying, why did the Torah repeat itself? To define the rule. The rule of kachim is things similar to Shlomim. Here the rule prohibits arayas, and the specific Eish HaSach, Yibum, is permitting arayas. And that's not defining the group. This is similar to the rule that says anything that was part of a grouping, the Yatza Lidin Bedavar Achadash, and the Torah went and took something and said something new, contradictory to the group, Shiyata Yachol Achzir L'Klaloi, you can't return it to the group, Ach Yachzirenu L'Hakasim Beferish, until the Torah says that even though it's different in one aspect, it's the same in other aspects. I would say, no, Eishasach is totally different. If the Torah took it away from the group, it's not defining the group, but it's out of the group, and therefore I would never think other arayas are mutter. Let's do Rashi. Midami, hasam klal be'isser, ikil amisni lama yatzasa. That's why we say, why did the Torah repeat shlomo? Hacha prat beheter, klal be'isser. Meaning, the Gemara says at the end, but it means the same thing. Lav lahach drasha dami, it's not similar. Dabadavar hachadosh. It's telling me something new, something contradictory. It's not defining, but rather contradicting. Right? It's similar to the following drasha. You can't put it back into the group. You can't define the group, nor can you return it to the group. If anything, Eishasach is no longer the same kind of erev as the rest of the erevs. Without the word alav, we wouldn't learn out the other arayas liyibam. Now, where do we have an example of that? Something Gemara de Tanya. There's a brisa. Davar shaya b'chlal b'yatzal lidin b'davar achadosh. Something that was part of a group, and then the Torah went and said something new. Yatzal rishar lachzir l'klala. You cannot return it to the group. Achyachzirenu l'chakasim b'feirish. Until the Torah explicitly says that even though it's different to one aspect, it belongs to the group and the rest of the aspects. Ketzad. Pasuk says by the halacha of bringing a asham mitzayra. Mitzayra brings an asham, and the pasuk writes, "B'makom b'shachar asakesef, you should keves, you should shecht the keves, b'mkayim asher yishchat asachatas v'sa'asham asayla, you shecht it in the same place, which is the northern part of the mizbeach, the same place where you shecht the chatas and the asham and the ayla, b'mkayim hakaydish in the holy place, the northern part." Of the courtyard of the Mishkan. Because the Asham is the same as the Chatas. That is redundant. You just said shecht it in the same place you shecht the Chatas. Why did the Torah have to say, because Asham is like Chatas? We just said that. You just said, shecht it in the place you shecht the Chatas in the Ayla. That means it's the same as the Chatas in the Ayla. So why did the Pasuk say, because Asham is the same as Chatas for the Kayan? She'ein Talmud Leimek Achatas Asham. The Torah had no reason to tell me that the Asham is like a Chatas. It just said it. Shecht it in the place of the Chatas. Right? It just said it. So why would I think that it's any different that the Torah has to say, no, the Asham is the same as the Chatas? Ma Talmud Leimek Achatas Asham. Why are you telling me Kachatas Asham? Zuck the Brisa. I'll tell you why I have to tell it to you. Asham Mitzayra, the Asham of a Mitzayra, has a halacha that's contradictory or different than any other Asham. The Torah never always talks about Zrika, sprinkling the blood on a Mizbeach. Came along the Torah by Asham and said, put the blood, Bebayin Yad, on the thumb, big thumb, Bebayin Rego, the big toe, Hayamanus, the right one, and on the ear also, right? Now, the Torah had to put the blood there. Maybe the Torah is saying, this Asham is different than any other carbon. Look, the Torah just wrote a halacha that does not apply to every other carbon. No other carbon did the Torah ever say do anything with the blood except sprinkle on the Mizbeach. You're not allowed to use the blood for anything else. Came along the Torah by Asham and said, go put the blood on his thumb, his toe, and as in his ear, right? That means the Torah just wrote a new halacha that's contradictory to the regular Zrika. So maybe there is no regular Zrika. Maybe the Torah is writing, Asham Mitzayra is a totally different carbon. No Zrika Sadam on the Mizbeach. Maybe you don't sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. That's the question, right? So, So the question is, so that would be the Havamina. Talmud Loimer ki gachatas ha Hashem hu. Therefore the Torah says, no, this Hashem is like every other chatas. Meaning, ma chatas teuna matan dam and ve'morm legabe mizveyach. Every other chatas, the blood gets sprinkled and the fat gets put on the mizveyach. Av Hashem l'tzayra, av Hashem, this Hashem, teuna matan dam ve'morm legabe mizveyach. Right. So that means the Torah had to come and say that even though you said Hashem Torah is different, it's not out of the regular rule. It's part of the rule with one difference. Without of that, I would have said the Torah took it away. It's not a regular carbon anymore. It's a totally different carbon. Has its own halachas, and it's not part of the group of korbanos. Now, same thing here. If the Torah writes Eishes Hakeres Mutar Bayibum, I don't. For a second, let's go back to Mitzrayah. I don't say Mitzrayah defines the other korbanos. I don't say every other carbon gets blood on the thumb. I don't say that because that's contradictory what's written by other korbanos. Other korbanos it says put on the mizbeach. No mention is made of thumb. We don't say that the Torah wrote it by Mitzrayah to teach me about everything else because it's not redundant and defining. It's a new halacha. New halachas are limited to the thing it's thought about. And in fact, if anything, we have to bring you back to the regular halacha by writing an extra pasuk. Eishes Ach is telling me it's mutar bayibum is contradictory to the regular halacha of arayas. And therefore, you can't say it's defining arayas that it's mutar by erva. No, it's its own thing. It's like similar to Mitzrayah sprinkling on the thumb. We don't define other korbanos. We say the Torah is saying a new halacha. And if anything, we would say Mitzrayah is totally different. We have to bring Mitzrayah back to the regular halacha. If anything, we would have to find the pasuk that says Eishes Ach is still the same as every other erva when there's no yibum. Right? So you don't say it defines Arias. We would never think Arias are mutter by Yibum because the Torah specified it by Eishes Ach. It's a new halacha. By new halachas, we don't use them as definitions. We use them as exceptions. If anything, make a total exception. So you can't say you need Aleha because Yibum would have said that just like Eishes Ach is mutter, all Arias are mutter. I would never say that. Let's catch up with Rashi. It's up to Rashi. B'shachar es hakeves b'ashem b'tzayrak siv. It's written by Hashem b'tzayra. Ki chachatas ha'ashem hu, ki din ha'chatas, kan din ha'ashem. Right? The same, the din of the chatas is the same as the Hashem. Shein tam alam kachatos. The Hashem zem l'shchita b'tzafim. If it's a tamri to shecht it in the north, how like my nemer by b'shachar es hakeves num kemash yishchit es hakatas. It just said, shecht it in the place you shecht the chatas. And if you're telling me to sprinkle of the mizbeach or how you eat it, it's the regular Hashem. These are the rules of all the Hashems mitzavas Aaron. Why do I need a pasuk to say it's like a chatas? It's a regular Hashem. The answer is it's not a regular Hashem. It's not included in the other Hashamas, the Bayan Yad or the Bayan Rego. This halacha does not apply by other Hashamas to put it on the thumb of the hand and the big toe. However, Yatzim Mechlaloi, since the Torah took it out of its group, it added a new halacha, never mentioned anywhere else. Maybe it's totally new. Talmud Loimar, that is why the Torah has to write. Ki chachatas ha'ashemu. The chatas is like, this Hashem is like a chatas. Ma chatas tuuna. There's no Rashi. So there's no more Rashi, and therefore, it's not the rule of definition, it's the rule of taking it out, of removing it from the group. We have to bring it back to the Gemara. Be'iloi adrikra. And if the Torah would not have said that it's like the regular chatas, hava mina lamayda nafik nafik, lamayda loy nafik, right? I would have said, but the Torah took it out, meaning it makes better halachas. And if not, the rest, it's different than any other carbon. That's what I would have said. I would have said, l'may d'loy nafik, l'loy nafik, meaning that it's different, that it's, we wouldn't say, meaning, if not of the Chatas or Asha, we would say it doesn't have all the halachas. It's a separate halacha completely. I would never say that Eishesach is mutter, therefore all Arayas are mutter. No, this rule doesn't say that Eishesach is defining. This rule says Eishesach is an exception. And therefore, why do I need Aleha? We're still back to the question of why I need Aleha. So we're going to try something else. Again, we've been looking for the last two blocks. Why do we need Aleha? Why is it necessary? Ain't Esa Daichel Lysas Ashiash Bakaris. It's not Daichel Lysas Ashiash Bakaris. Rashi learned that it would be Daichel regular Lysas Ashiash Bakaris, but by Yibum, since you have an out by Chalitza, it wouldn't be Daichel. Other Rishainim learned that Esa is never Daichel Lysas Ashiash Bakaris, period. But the Kasha remains the same. Why did the Torah have to write a Leo by Yibum, Lechaira? We know it wouldn't be daicha that lois esa. You have an out of chalitza, or it's karis, whatever way you want to learn the question, boils down to, I don't need aleha. We tried to say that by writing that eishesach is removed by yibum, it would be defining all other arayas. It's not true. It would not define all other arayas. It's a davar hakadosh. And by a davar hakadosh, we don't use it to define. So back to the question, why do we need aleha? And for the Gemara is going to try something else. And now the Gemara is going to say, we're trying something logic. Not based on a pasuk, but logic. Elasagadai techamina. I would think to say, Taisiachais Isha, the Bach adds, Mamatzinu me'eshesach. Logical comparison. The Torah allows Yibum to push away Eishesach. That means we see Karis folds in the place of Yibum. So Achais Isha would also fold in the place of Yibum. Not based on any pasuk, but a logical comparison. Listen, the Torah said Yibum can push away Eishesach. That means the Torah revealed to me that Karis folds in front of Yibum. So the Torah reveals to me Karis folds in front of Yibum. So I would think, are all Arayas fold in front of Yibum? They're all Karis, and Karis folds in front of Yibum. So I would compare logically Achais Isha to Eishesach. Zok the Gemara, it's not comparable. Midami, Hasam Chari Surah Achatrei Surah. There, it's one Karis that's folding in front of Yibum. By other Ervas, it's a combination of brother's wife and the other Erva, right? The wife's sister is also the brother's wife. So it's two Isurim. We can't logically say, just like the Karis folds in front of Yibum by a brother's wife, the Karis would fold in front of Yibum by all other Arayas. Because all other Arayas have two. It's a brother's wife plus. You can't compare two to one. Logically, therefore that answer doesn't work as well. There goes that answer. Yes.
This whole time, we're all asking, why do we need aleha? It's the Sheish Bukharis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of the Arayas are Srefa and Skiwa.
That's even worse.
Is called the Homer from Kharis?
Right, exactly. Well, first of all Arayas that have Srefa and Skiwa have Kharis as well. Meaning, Sreif and Skila is given, if there's Hasra, if there's Edom, what happens if a person commits that crime, that Erva, without Hasra, and without Edom? What is his punishment?
I mean, the Onesh B'mezi would have been Sreifa, and he didn't get a warning?
Yeah, he did a B'mezi, but he didn't get a warning. There were no Edom. Or there were Edom.
Hashem will take care of him.
That's called Karis.
That's called Karis?
Mm-hmm. What is Hashem? What is Karis?
I thought Karis was Rahman Litzlan when certain things happen, like Rahman Litzlan kids die early, or he dies early, or things like that.
Who's taking care of that?
Again, I understand that, but there's certain pratim specifically for Kares and Ariri, whatever it is.
Every mitzvah.
Hashem will take care of the person can mean that he'll fall in a river, or, someone will,
Again, you're 100% right. But the rule is, this is the rule. Every Mises Bezin is Karis Plus.
Yeah, that's something, that's Dabra Chadash for me.
It is fact. I can show it to you in the Gemara. We're going to have it in the Gemara soon, by the way. In Dav Testament, where is it? I believe Dav Testament Aleph, we're going to have it.
Okay. So don't Kleiman thinks that I look ahead.
Which Kleiman?
Baruch Moshe.
I'm glad he thinks that way. Okay.
No, he looks enticing.
Anyway, back to the Gemara.
That's a joke, you mean. Okay, thank you.
Zat Rashi. Trei Suri, Eishes Ach, Bachaisish. So now we're going to start again. Try again. And again, this is going to be the last attempt, I believe, before the final answers, where the Gemara is going to give multiple answers that remain. But we're going to give one more try, and again, the Gemara is going to dispute it. And this is a new halacha that probably most people did not hear of ever. And this is called Hayil V'Ishtari Ishtari. Since the Torah permitted one Isser, along with that one Isser, it permits other Isurim as well. And let me explain. The halacha is that anybody that's Tameh with a Tumah that came out of his body, which means Balkari, Zav, Metzaira, is not allowed to walk into the Har HaBayis. He's not allowed to walk into the Temple Mount. Biblically banned from walking into the Temple Mount. Obviously, if you can't walk into the Temple Mount, he obviously can't walk into the Azara, which is the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. He's not allowed even to walk into the mountain, let alone into the base, into the Azara. Came along, now, what if he goes to the mikvah? What if he's a tful yoim? Meaning, he was tameh, the tumah left him, he went through the process of tara, and he went to the mikvah. But he still has to bring a carbon. So it's questionable whether biblically or rabbinically, it's going to be a shayla, is he allowed into the Har HaBayis or not? At that point. But he's for sure not allowed into the Azara. He's not allowed into the Azara until he brings his Korbanos. So if we set it up, whether it's biblical or rabbinic, anybody that was Tamei, even though he went through the mikvah process, right, he's a Tvul Yayim, it's questionable whether he can walk into the Har HaBayis. Because before he went to the mikvah, he was not allowed into the Har HaBayis. After he went to the mikvah, we're going to have a question whether it's biblical or rabbinic coming up. But whatever it is, he's not allowed into the Har HaBayis, either biblically or rabbinically. But for sure he's not allowed into the Azara. Came along the Torah and said a Mitzrayah, when he brings his Karbanos, has to stick his thumb and his toe and his ear into the Azara, so they should put blood on it. Now this Mitzayra did not bring his Karbanos yet. And the Torah told him to put his thumb, toe, ear into the Azara, so they could put blood on it. Which is exactly against the halacha of a Tameh, a Toyaim, a Mechutz Kippurim, somebody who didn't bring his carbon, walking into the Azara, which is punishable by Karas. And here the Torah told him to do it. So there's a big machloikas. In Mesechtes, I believe in Mesechtes, Psachim. One man the Amai says that he's not walking into the Azara. Putting in a finger or a thumb or a toe or his ear is not his body entering. And therefore, he's not violating any biblical halacha of entering the Azara. He might be violating the biblical halacha of Har HaBayis. It might not even be biblical. We'll talk about it, but it's for sure not Karis. He's not violating. He's not entering the Azara. Only a little bit of his body is entering the Azara. That's not called entering to the Azara. That's what one Mandiyama says. The other Mandiyama says, he is violating it. But that's what the Torah said to do. The Torah said, for a Metzaira, we want him to violate the halacha of entering the Azara by sticking his thumb, toe, and ear into the Azara. That's the mitzvah the Torah gave him. The Torah said, for you, we are permitting the Isser of a Tameh sticking something into the Azara. The Torah permitted the Isser. According to the Mandi Amar, that says, any part of the body entering the Azara is a violation of the rule. That means the Torah said, violate the rule. The Torah made it a mitzvah. The Metzaira is supposed to violate the rule of sticking something of Tameh into the Azara. Again, there is a Mandi Amar that says, it's not a violation of the rule. Because he's not sticking in more than a small part of his body at a time, that's not called entry. There's a Mandi Amar that says, any part of him that comes in is entry. But the Torah said, we want him to do this. We want him to violate the halacha. We want him to put something into the Azara. That's what we want. Now, that's the halacha of Metzaira. Here comes a Metzaira that on the morning of his eighth day, the day that he's supposed to bring the Karbanos, that day, he saw a keri in the morning. So now he's got an extra problem. He's not only a Metzaira, but he's a Baal keri. And he goes to the mikvah right away. So now he's a Tvul Yayin. He's a Tameh that already is on his way out. He went to the mikvah. It's Erev Pesach. He wants to eat Pesach tonight. In order for him to eat Pesach tonight, he's got to bring his carbon of Metzaira. In order for him to bring the carbon of Metzaira, he's got to go into the Harabayas, walk up to the Azara, stick his thumb in, his toe in, and his ear in. Now, the Torah said a Metzaira should do it, but he's a Baal keri. He is a Tvul Yayin. He had an extra tumah. He had an extra tumah. What does he do? If we don't let him go, he won't eat Pesach tonight. A regular one, we say, wait till tomorrow. You'll be good to go. You don't have to do it today. You can do it tomorrow. But this person has a pressure. It's Erev Pesach. If he doesn't get take care of it, he won't be able to eat Karban Pesach tonight. Chazal say there's a rule called Hoil V'Ishtari Ishtari. Since the Torah permitted him to walk in as a Metzaira, that means the Torah is saying, we waive all Tumah. We waive all Tumah as far as it's entering the Azara. He's allowed to enter the Azara partially, even though he has multiple Tumas. Because the Torah allowed the Tummy Metzaira to walk in, that means the Torah said, we are waiving Tumah for this man. You're waving Tumah for this man? I don't care if he's just Tummy Metzaira, or he's Metzaira and Baal keri, we waive it for him. That's the halacha of Hayo V'Ishtari Ishtari. Now when the Torah permitted something that flies against the rules, that means the Torah is saying, this man is immune from the rules. He's absolved from the rules. He is a Tameh that can enter the Azara by sticking his thumb, toe, and ear in. I don't care if he's just Tameh Metzaira, or if he has an added Tumah that he saw carried that day. We say, this man is absolved from the Yisurim, he can stick his thumb in, even though now he has two Tumas on him. He is a Metzaira, and he is a Tvul Yayin of a Baal keri, who is prohibited from entering the Azara. And he's sticking his thumb in. But he's prohibited from entering the Azara as a Metzaira. And the Torah said he can do it. That means the Torah said, we waive Tumah for this man. If we waive Tumah for this man, we not only waive Tumas Metzaira, we waive Tumas Baal keri also. Following that logic, same thing is true here. We waive Eish HaSach. Here came the Torah and said, this is an erva called Eish HaSach. We waived it because of Yibum. We said, Yibum came along, and we waive the Isser. You waive the Isser, that means this man is absolved from erva. Who cares how many ervas? Just like we didn't care how many tumas, we don't care how many ervas. That's why we need Aleha. To tell me, we don't apply the rule of Hayo V'Ishtari Ishtari. This is a rule that says, if the Torah waives an Isser for a person, it waives not only that Isser, or any accompanying Isser that might be subjective to this man. Every Metzaira is not a Baal keri. Every Metzaira only gets waived the Isser of Metzaira. But we're going to see in a Braisa that we say a Svara, again, we can't make up this Svara. It's handed down from Sinai. That since the Torah waived the Isser, the Torah said, we are allowing a Tomei to walk into the Azara, so what difference does it make how many Tomas he has? That's what it's saying. Same thing here. We are allowing a person to violate an Erva for Yibum, so what difference does it make how many Ervas he has? That's what the Gemara wants to say.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Rabbi, can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
In the example where this rule comes from with the Mitzvah, why do we say that it doesn't matter how many Tumas he has versus the different sort of Tumas he has? Isn't that the essence of it? That he has actually kind of a slightly different category of Tuma, not that he has stacked one on top of the other? Or am I missing something?
I hear your difference, but I don't see why it should make a difference. The bottom line is, this man has multiple tumas. Two different categories, but multiple. And the Torah never permitted a Balkari to go in. It only permitted a Mitzvah to go in. Yet we say...
I understand, but I was just trying to make the analogy to the Yibum here, whose problem may not... I see that his problem is multiple... multiple issues here, but it seems with Matsura it may not be a multiple Tuma issue here. It might be a different Tuma issue here. So I'm just wondering why that is necessarily an analogous.
Because the different is also multiple. It's Matsura plus Balkari. The bottom line is he has multiple. He has multiple. He has Matsura. He didn't get rid of his Saras yet, and he also is a Balkari. So the bottom line is we're allowing a second Tumah to be permitted because the first Tumah is permitted. That means the Torah waived Tumah for him. So I don't care if you call a different category a multiple, but it ends up being a second one on him. He has two.
Okay.
Zakti Gemara. Amphita Gemara. Mal de Tema. I would think, Hoil the Ishtari. Since one is permitted, the second is permitted. Rashi, Hoyo v'ishtari ishtari, Isser eishasach, shahoya alek, shemes achav v'loy banim. The Isser eishasach, which was there when his brother died, ishtari, was removed. Was moved. So ishtari nami isser achaisisha. It's Hoyo v'ishtari isser eishasach, shahoya alek, shemes achav v'loy banim. Since we removed one, ishtari nami isser achaisisha. Zok de Gemara, umanot temra, daminin Hoyo v'ishtari ishtari. What is the source of Hayel v'Ishtari Ishtari? Where do we see this? Zakti Gemara d'Tanya. Mitzayra shechal shmini shaloi v'erev ha-Pesach. Mitzayra whose eighth day ended up being on Erev Pesach. Eighth day means the day he's supposed to bring his korbanos and get rid of his saras. This man was out of the three machnas. He got rid of his saras, the kayin came out, there was a whole process. Then he had to wait 7 days, and then on the eighth day he brings his korban. Now his eighth day ended being Erev Pesach. Subtrashi, Shemini Shalai, Shuyayim Havas Korban Isaf. It is the day that he brings his korbanus. V'tzarech lovoy b'harabayis. He has to come to the harabayis. V'lamoy b'shar niknar. And stand in the gate of niknar. Which, by the way, was not considered part of the Azara. It's the gate. They specifically did not make the gate of Niknor part of the Azara so that the Mitzvah could stand there when he pushed his fingers into the Azara. Ulahachnis yadav la'azara, and he has to put his hands and his toe and his ear into the Azara. Litei min adam ala b'hainas, to put blood on his toe. On his thumb. Back to the Gemara. The raw keri by bayay. At the morning of the eighth day, he saw a keri. Now, Badavka were picking keri, because keri is a tumah that prohibits him from entering harabayis also. If he became a tumah sheretz, or a tumah nevela, he would not be prohibited, even if he became a tumah mace. Any tumah that's acquired by touch does not ban a person from entering harabayis. Any tumah that came from the person's body himself, keri, zav, mitzaira, nida, right? All those tumahs bans a person from entering harabayis. So here is a person that became a keri on the morning of Erev Pesach, on the eighth day of his saras. The Tavali went to the mikvah, which lessens the severity of Balkari, because there's a shiloh we're going to have momentarily, whether he's biblically prohibited now from entering the Harabayas or not. He's biblically prohibited from entering the Azara. But it's questionable what his prohibition now is from entering the Temple Mount, right? Harabayas, that's questionable. This person has to go up the mountain to the Azara. So going up the mountain is questionable how prohibited it is. It's not Karis. That's out because he went to the mikveh already. But he's not allowed to go into the Azara. So we have two issues. He's climbing up the mountain, and he's also going to put his fingers into the Azara. So the mountain part doesn't bother us that much, because, as the Gemara, the Braisa is going to explain in a second, so we'll see the Braisa. Amru Chachamim, so the Chachamim said, Ava Bishayin Tfu Yoyim Acha Nichnas, even though the Tfu Yoyim is not allowed to go into the Harabayas, we're talking about Harabayas now. We're not even up to the Azara yet. How are we letting them go on the mountain? He's a Balkari. He's a Tvoyayim. He still hasn't had his sunset. He's still not Torah from Keri. How are we letting him go? The answer is, Zenichnas. This one can enter. Why? Because Mutav Shiyavi Aseh Shiyash Bekaris. Pesach is an Aseh that involves Karis. If he doesn't go, he won't be able to bring a carbon Pesach. So we let that Aseh come and push away the Yitzchah Aseh Shein Bekaris and push away the Aseh that says don't enter Harabayas, because that's a mitzvah Aseh. It's no longer a lav. He went to the mikvah. So we therefore, it's no longer Karis. He's not for Balkari, it's no longer Karis. He already went to the mikvah. For Mitzayra, it's no longer Karis. He already went to the mikvah. He's bringing his karbonas. He can't walk into the Azara, but he can walk into the Harabayas. He's not allowed to walk into the Harabayas because of an Aseh, but he has to bring his carbon Pesach. So therefore, the Aseh of Pesach pushes away the Aseh of walking into the Harabayas. We Amar Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Yechanan explained, Dvar Taira biblically Avdullah Aseh Lesbe. The whole prohibition of entering Harabayas for Tul Yayim is not even biblical. It's not even a biblical prohibition. I don't even have to push away a biblical prohibition to let him walk into the Harabayas. Shenamar, Bayamad Yashavit Bikal Yehuda Lufnei Achatzer Achadasha. Shavit stood in the congregation of Yehuda in front of the new courtyard. And what's my Achatzer Achadasha? It wasn't a new courtyard. It was the same courtyard. V'yama Reb Yechanan. And Reb Yechanan said, Shechitshu Badvarim. They made a new rule. V'yamru Tvoyayim L'yichnas L'machnas L'viyah. They said a Tvoyayim can't enter the Harabayas. So Reb Yechanan is saying that biblically speaking, once the Balkari went to the mikvah, he can enter the Harabayas. So the Harabayas is not a major problem. Either, as the Gemara understood at the beginning, it's only prohibited by an Aseh. The Torah said, get out. But the Torah, the prohibition of Karis doesn't apply. He already went to the mikvah. Or, it's not even an Aseh. It might only be rabbinic. So therefore, that doesn't bother us, that he's walking all the way up the mountain, all the way up to the door of the Azara. But now we got a biblical problem of Karis. How does he stick his fingers into the Azara? That's not only an Aseh, and that's not rabbinic, that's biblical and Karis. The Amr Ula, Matam, why is he allowed to put his fingers into the Azara? Since the Torah permitted him as a Mitzrayim to stick his fingers in, which is also a violation of Karis, but the Torah told him to do it. That means the Torah waived the Isser. When the Torah waived the Isser, it waived all Tumah. This man is absolved from Tumah in the Azara. And therefore we see the concept of Hayo V'Ishtari, Ishtari. He became permitted, it became permitted. So now we want to apply it over here as well. Here is a man that the Torah said, go live with your brother's wife, Erva. But the Torah said, this Erva is permitted for you. It's even a mitzvah, just like by Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah for him to come and get rid of a saras. It's a mitzvah. And the Torah said, violate Tumah for saras. Violate Erva for Yibum. So we say, even if another Erva happens to be in the way, just like if another Tumah is in the way, we say, history, history. So here also I would say, Erva is permitted. All Ervas are permitted. That's why I need a pasuk of Aleha to say, no, do not do that. Rashi. Zakrashi, Baro Keri, L'hachi naket keri. Why are we picking keri? V'loi tumah sheretz and avela. Why are we picking keri and not a tumah of touch? They touched a dead sheretz, one of eight kinds of creatures that are metame when they're dead. There are eight shratzim that are metame when they're dead. Unavela, or touched the dead body of an animal. The tumah sheretz. V'afilu tumah meis. Even if he touched a meis. They are not prohibited from entering Harabayis at all. We wouldn't have to deal with the concept of Harabayis. We wanted to say, first of all, Harabayis is not a problem, and second of all, the Azara is not a problem. By Tumas Sheretz and Tumas Meis, we would never have to deal with the problem of Harabayis. His Mefarish, like it says, the Elu Dvarim, in the sixth Perek of Sochem, Shenemra Vayikach Moshe, as Atzmas Yosef Imai, Moshe, who lived in Machne Levia, had Yosef's bones with him. That means a mace was in Machne Levia. V'shari Niknar v'niskachum. And the gates of Niknar were never sanctified b'kedushas Azara. K'damina b'keitzet Tzaylin. Meaning, the fact that he's standing in the gateway doesn't bother us. Because the gateway was never made part of the Azara. The gateway was considered outside of the Azara. K'damina b'keitzet Tzaylin. V'arehen k'harabayis. They are like the regular harabayis. V'yachol tamei meis l'kanes l'sham. And the tamei meis can enter. Abu Balkeri, mishtal l'chutz l'shnei machnas. A Balkeri has to leave the harabayis. Like it says over there in the sixth parak of Sochem, it says Zav, V'chol Zav. The Torah writes, V'chol Zav, L'rabbis Balkeri. So we pick the Tumah that there are multiple problems for. A, entering the Harabayis. B, entering the Azara. Had we picked Sheretz and Avela, a mace, we would have never had to talk about Harabayis, because it would have been nothing wrong to enter the Harabayis. The Tavah L'Kruya, when he went to the mikvah for his carry. Avabi the Tvul Yoyim Achad the Keri ain't a Nifnas Larabayas. A regular Tvul Yoyim, meaning he went to the mikvah and he had a Keri, is not allowed to enter the Harabayas. The whole Tvul Yoyim Harihu Betuma Adai Latrumo Lakachim Lamigdash. A Tvul Yoyim is still not allowed to eat Truma nor Kachim nor enter Migdash. Ze Yovei Larabayas. This person is allowed to enter the Harabayas. But Yachnis Yadav Labahinas, and he's allowed to stick his hands for the thumb into the Azara, which is a bigger problem, and he can become tar to eat his Pesach in the evening. Why? If he won't put his hands into for the thumbs, he won't be able to eat his Pesach that evening. And it pushes away the assay of send them out of the machna. She'ein by karas. She'ein onush karas. Ela abiyas azara. Karas is only for the azara. Right? Vezela yichnas vazara. This person is not entering the azara. Remember, he's not a Balkari anymore. He's a Tvoyayim. Elul Shari Niknar. He's only entering the gates of Niknar. He's climbing up the mountain, all the way up to the gates of Niknar. Shloinis Kachu, that are not sanctified as the Azara. V'yachnis Yadav L'Bahinus, and he puts his hands in for his thumbs. V'yitzar Mitzaratai. V'yishlach Pischer L'Azara L'Shchait. Then he can send his Pesach, because he can't go back to Shech the Pesach. He's still a Toyayim. We let him in once, but once he leaves, he's out. Right? Ula'erev Yarev Shimshai, that evening the sun will set, the Yatar Mikruyav and the Keri will be all gone, he'll be able to eat Karban Pesach. So, the Brisa calls it an assay, and Rabbi Yechanan explains, it's not necessarily Machloikas, that it's not really even assay, it's only rabbinic. Bayamad Yeshafat, Aisa Yayim Nitaru Yisrael Mitumas Shibidayim. This was a day that Yidden got rid of their Tumah, but Divri Hayamim, this Pasuk is in Divri Hayamim. Mamachne Levia, Laharabayas. Okay, so now we've only dealt with how he can walk into the Harabayas. We still haven't dealt how he can walk into the Azara. I just want to speak out of Kasha that Taisus has. We have a rule that Asay only pushes away other things if it happens at the same moment. Right? Asay Daichaloy Sasa, we mentioned, is only if it happens at the same moment. Here, he's violating the Asay of entering the Harabayas, if you learn it's biblical, much earlier than he's going to bring the Karban Pesach. The Karban Pesach won't be till that night. So, right? So why are we allowing him to violate an assay in the morning so we can do an assay later on? It's not at the same time. So Tosfos speaks out, but an assay is like a light says, it has to be at the same time. But when we pick one assay over another assay, like over here we're saying Pesach pushes away the assay of a Tful Yom entering the Harabayas, it doesn't have to be at the same time. The rule of needing same time is only when an assay goes up against the Lav. But when an assay goes up against an assay, it doesn't have to be at the same time. We pick one over the other, even though one is later than the other. That's what Tosfos speaks out. Anyway, back to the Gemara here. The Amr Ula Memesech Tzvachim. Now, the reason Ula has to explain it is the
Rabbi?
Yes.
Rabbi?
I'm listening.
Yeah, okay, there's two things. First of all, that to me is a very hard sfar to understand because essays docha losa say, but an essay is not docha an essay.
Unless it's a stronger essay.
Okay, well, so, so you're saying, because what I'm trying to say is, binna, you can say maybe, if that needs binna, by Esther Losa say, for sure by an essay, docha, an essay, an essay with an essay, you should need it at the same time. As far as a little bit.
Right, but Tosfos is saying is, Tosfos is saying, whenever we have an essay is really not docha. It's picking which essay is more important. Asa's daicha leisasa, it's pushing away the leisasa. When asa's daicha assay, you have two mitzvahs assay to do. Which one is more important? So I don't have to have it at the same time. I have to decide which is the one I'm going to go with. It's a different kind of.
That's more of a.
It's a preference, not a tia. Not really a daicha.
The other thing is also, why are we letting the person bring the Korban Pesach tonight? Wait 30 days.
Korban Pesach Sheni is not preferable. It's only when we have no other option. If we can get him to bring the Korban Pesach Rishon where the mitzvah is, don't we want him to do that?
And not use Docha, why not?
If it's permissible, it's permissible.
But you have to come through you have to go through this history thing, which is not so logical.
It's a rule of the Torah. Once the Torah made it a rule, right? A rule is a rule. Now, Tosfos speaks out, and I guess I should mention it, that why aren't we letting the Mitzrayim walk in? If the Torah permitted it, they permitted it. The answer is, of course we're not going to permit more than the Torah said to do. Anything more than that, the Torah never permitted. We don't say, since he can think of somebody, he might as well walk in. That we don't say. Back to the Rashi. The Amr Ula, Bia b'mitzvah shma bia. See, again, I mentioned before, there's an opinion that says partial entry is not called an entry. So according to that, Madi Amar, we would not let a mitzvah. I'm sorry, we would not necessarily let, right, well, there would be no problem, be the same thing. But there would be no violation of any rule. And putting your finger into the azara doesn't violate any rules. But Ula said it does. And we asked the question. It says that he can walk in and put his hands into the thumb. If we say partial entry is called entry, true, we let him go into the harabayas. It's only an assay without karas. But how can he put it into the azara? Putting his finger into the azara is karas. So how are we letting this balkari put in his finger in the Azara? The Kaimel of the Menachas about Kaimetz Rava, in the second parak of Menachas it says, Mechusa Kippurim, third parak of Menachas, Mechusa Kippurim Shenichlis the Migdash, Anish Karas. That anybody that didn't bring his Korbanus, that puts his hands into the Migdash is Anish Karas. They ain't Tarach Laim Atzvu Yayim. For sure Atzvu Yayim. Ushar Kalat Meyim. So how do we allow him? Fine, you let him up the mountain because the assay of Pesach is more than the assay of entering the mountain. But it's not more than the assay of entering the Azara. And Ula says that putting your fingers into the Azara is a violation of Karas. Shani Ula Shani Matsaira. Hayo Vihiptulai Bia Bemiktis Latsaratai. We allow partial entry for Matsaira. Shadai Mahusa Kapurimu Bakaras, he's still Karas. Mahutrulai Matira Bia Zuba Miktis. And the Tyra said, put it in. The Torah is saying, don't worry about any tumah. So we see when one is waved, the others are waved as well. Same thing here. You're waving Eishes Ach, you will wave Achais Isha as well. We will continue Merit Hashem tomorrow morning.